Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is already Thursday during the week, hard to believe, but it is, and it's already the 6th of July. I can't believe it. It's already the 6th of July, and here we are at 5:30 in the morning in L.A., and I hope you're happy where you're at. It's really, really, really hot out here. They just have fires everywhere. It's, you know, we had such a great winter. I'm grieving right now. I'm missing our winter. I'm missing our rain, but it's the way things are, and we just got to deal with it. So I go for my walks, like, really early in the morning because you can't. It's like after 8 o'clock in the morning, that party is over. And you guys, I have a ton of dreams today, so I hope I make it through them all. The first dream I have today is an anonymous dream. And it's a dream that we're going to start off with, and then we're going to try to peel through them and see what we can come up with by the end of today. So here we go. Hi, Nadia. If you have time tomorrow, and I understand if this is too late, I had a dream the other day that won't leave my tiny pinball of a brain. I was at someone's cottage and, as usual, felt like I didn't belong there, so I went outside. I found several dimes in the grass by a footpath. On the other side of the footpath was a pond. A couple of the dimes fell into the pond while I was picking them out of the water. My youngest brother came over to me and was reminding me of all the names our father called his favorite golf club. The only two I can remember that he said are Beauty and Ruby. Then my brother showed me he had found the club. In the dream, my dad was mad at the club and threw it away many years ago. It had a lot of dirt and grass on it because it had become partially buried in the dirt. We were incredibly happy that we'd found the club. In real life, whenever I find dimes, I feel like they're from my dad, and I keep them in a small box. As far as I know, he never gave his golf balls names or threw any away. Our dad has been gone for 25 years. Thank you so much. Love you. This is a very beautiful dream. It's almost like, you know, when you get a visit from somebody who's passed, but they themselves don't come. It's actually, believe it or not, kind of hard to come to this side. So they do reminder things or stuff like that, especially if they've been gone for a long time. It's usually, for some reason, much more common and fluid in the very beginning when someone leaves. So there's a few things I wanted to point out in this dream. It's that you were at a cottage, someone else's cottage, and as usual, you felt like you didn't belong there, so you went outside. You found several dimes in the grass by the footpath. That is just telling you that this isn't going to be a normal dream. You don't belong where you think you belong. I need your undivided attention. So it's like your dad set it up so you will have this attention from him by not belonging in one place because you actually belonged in another. And I want you to take that to heart because it's not that you don't belong in different places that you think you don't belong in. It's because you need to be somewhere else. So that feeling of not belonging places doesn't mean you don't belong there. So don't take it that way. You belong everywhere you go. It's just that where you go is what's more important than where you think you should go. So do what, that's a big one for you, a big message that you need to do what's important to you and not feel like, well, I should be doing this or I should be doing that or that I don't, you know, belong. It's not that you don't belong there. The reason you don't feel okay there is because that's not actually where you belong. Not that you don't belong. So I hope that distinction is made. And the other thing I wanted to say, on the other side of the footpath was a pond. and a couple of dimes fell into the pond. Well, you know that when people throw coins into waters, it's to make dreams come true or to make their wish come true. And he's letting you know that you, your dreams, your desires, they're within your reach. So don't think that that doesn't belong to you too. Because you see the theme here. First, you felt you didn't belong with other people or in that cottage. But it's not that you didn't belong there. He just needed to talk to you. So he pulled you out and you're where you needed to be. There's a difference. And I want to make that distinction because this whole dream is about that particular distinction. And the other side of the footpath where you see the dimes and the fact that they fell into the pond, somewhere where they can last forever. Because on the ground, someone can find them, but they went into the water. Somewhere where they could be nourished forever. It's really kind of cool. So then you found several of them in the grass by the footpath. On the other side of the footpath was the pond. And that's where the dimes fell. Not all of them, just some of them. You need to hold on to some and you need to let go of some things. So whatever it is that's inside of you, there's some really great things. Keep those. Don't feel like you have to change your whole self. But keep what's inside of you intact. Your love, your truth, your purity. And let the rest go. And it will be solved. The fact that these dimes fell into the pond is letting you know that their solution is eternal. They will live forever. The solutions will live forever. You will grow out of and solve the spots that you're in. And they may not even be that big, or they may be huge, but whatever they are, you have the potential, you have the capacity to grow through them, be satisfied with the solution, and then release it and let it go. Yes, there's a big message in this one. So let's keep going. Now, your youngest brother comes over to you and was reminding you about all the names your dad called his favorite club. So now it's just bringing your dad's personality into the picture. Because what's happened is a lot of times when people leave, we tend to think of them as they died, they're no longer here. And so we no longer have access to them, even though we know that we can or we do. We have to write them off to continue because there's no way to keep it. You might think of it every single day, but you can't think of it all day, not because of anything other than just reality. So what happens is now you guys are reminiscing about your dad, which brings him more alive into your mind and into your heart right now. The only two I can remember that he called are Betty and Ruby. And they're Beauty and Ruby. Then your brother showed you that he found the club. So what you guys have really done is this little trail of your dad saying, okay, now I brought family in, here's your brother. And now I'm, you know, kind of enjoying my time. So do you guys remember what I used to do? That there were some really great things that I was. And I remember those now. And I'm clean with everything I've ever done. But I'm happy. And then your brother said he found the club. And in the dream, your dad was mad at the club and threw it away years ago. So because your dad was mad at it, it was covered in dirt and grass on it. Because he's over it, but he buried it. And what he's teaching to you to do is things that don't rest well in you, just bury them and continue on. You will be okay. So the message is completely consistent in here. It's interesting how he told you, though. What a storyteller. It had a lot of dirt and grass because it became partially buried in the dirt, and we were incredibly, incredibly happy that you found the club. So even though you might be upset about something, you will be happy with the solution. That everything's okay. Whatever you don't need, you can just give it to nature. Nature will take care of it. It's not yours anymore. Just like the wrong room isn't yours. It's not that you're wrong for the room. It's that the room is wrong for you. or you'd feel comfortable there. So he's giving you these light layers of confidence, but together they're a powerful layer of confidence to trust that you are where you need to be and that whatever is harsh or difficult or impinging on your life in a way that you don't like, that you can find a solution you can be happy with, and you will still be okay and you will still be incredibly happy no matter how you feel about it. It won't destroy you. I really, really love this dream. Very gently told. In real life, whenever I find dimes, I feel they are from your dad. They are. Because people usually find pennies, by the way. People usually pick up dimes. And I keep them in a small box. As far as I know, he never gave his golf clubs names or threw any away. Our dad's been gone for 25 years. Thanks so much. Love you. My dad tomorrow will have been gone for 12, a little bit less than half of the time your dad has been gone. And I have to tell you, this week, something has come over me. And it's such a good thing. It's something I'm not used to, though. But I have become, it's something I've been asking God for, but I just didn't know how it was going to hit me. And I honestly didn't know if I could be that person. But I have become very cognizant, not only of my time, but of my work. It's like all I can do is work. And it's not like I'm working, you know, day and night. It's become me. And I'm so focused that anything that infringes on my time, I can't handle. I used to be able to just let any intrusion in life walk in. But I can't do that anymore. I have so much to do because what I see in my mind is so big that I can't not do it. It's just like when I was writing the books, I couldn't stop writing. I'd wake up every night and write and wake up every night and write. And I couldn't believe how I could do it and not be tired in the morning. And all of this, it was just like I was infused. And every day of this week, there isn't a day, because this is when my dad was on life support and we took him off, and these days from the 2nd of July till the 7th of July, those 5 days. And he died on July 7th, 2005. And I just felt it all day long, all day long, all day long. And I have these little flashes of my dreams. I don't even get the whole dream. And all of them, all of my dreams are of me learning this new information to be able to take myself there. And it's the first time I have read a book, any book out of all the books I've read, that I felt was the information that Christ told me, only it built a bridge from that information to production. And all my dreams were of me walking into new places, one after another after another. Nothing familiar but being comfortable with charting new territory, basically. And it's so beautiful how we get spoken to. And if we don't see it, we don't realize how much effort it took from the souls that leave to come back and give us a message and hope that we understand it. And I'm glad that we're doing this show when you got to, because this was very, very cool. Oh, I have another dream. I have a few dreams. Okay, so this one is from Eliana. I hope there's time for a dream question. A bit of backstory. Lately, I am having dreams where I know someone in my dream, not physical only, by their soul. In my dream, I know who they are, and I could place them in my current life, but as soon as I forget my dream, I forget who was in it. But I remember one. I had a very dark dream a few weeks ago. The man in my dream was a serial killer, and I knew he had killed many people. He would smile and shake my hand. I know in the dark where he lived, he had many people killed or did it himself. That person physically, I never seen before, not even in a movie, but I felt strongly that I knew him. Then a couple of weeks ago, the bumper to my car was almost pulled off in a parking lot. The next morning, I drove down the block to my sweet body shop guy who I know for a few years. Once I see the body shop guy, I know he's the serial killer in my dream. He's such a nice guy, but I couldn't chit-chat with him like I normally do. He fixed my car in a few hours, but I couldn't be myself with him. I had to put on an act. A few years ago, I read a book called Many Masters, Many Lives. It speaks of many lives we lived with many of the same souls resurfacing. I believe this to be true, that we encounter many souls that have touched our lives in the prior lifetimes. My question to you is, why would remembering this soul be important for me? In the book, the author mentions that recognition of a prior soul or our own or somebody else is unresolved issues in our current life. For a quick example, in the book, a woman coughing a lot in her past life had suffocated in a cave. Her cough was cured after remembering this past life suffocation. So why would I dream of my body shop guy's former life as a serial killer? Now, I don't like going there, but I have to because we've had a scheduled appointment for August 26th. I don't get a weird feeling inside his shop or when he smiles and jokes around. I just know that his soul and I are not chummy enough to share this info with him. He would freak out. I would appreciate any thoughts you have for me. Thanks so much, Nadia, and much love to you, Eliana. That's actually interesting that this dream had to be taken to such an extreme, because when we think of a serial killer, obviously we are associating to killing other people. Maybe if in his past life he was a killer, he has come back for redemption to clear and clean and be the opposite of this person and to carry on his life in a different way. However, there's actually something kind of humorous here. Because the guy is so nice and you can't figure out why he was the serial killer in your dream, but he's fixing broken things and broken objects, not people. And he has this sense of humor in life, and he's got kind of, it sounds like, a nice demeanor. But a lot of times when we actually dream of somebody being a killer, like a killer of people, it's giving people life, because what we don't see in life on earth is that when somebody leaves here, this is the symbolism behind a serial killer. It doesn't mean he was before. If he was, then he's coming to redeem. But it bigger than that, there's a bigger picture. There's something I knew when I saw Christ, and that was that when we die is when we actually wake up. It's not that we're dead here, but when we leave here, we call it dying, but when we leave, we actually wake up, because that's the only time we can see everything. We can't see everything here on earth. So this man gives life to people. You dreamed of him as a serial killer, which means he gives life to a lot of people. He gives hope. He gives happiness. He's a lighthearted, just from what you said about him that you know, and then coming up with this dream. In dreams, when you dream somebody close to you died, it actually is giving them a longer life. It's the opposite of what we think, because it's the way we think of death. And the fact that he has killed many people and some himself, some of the people he helps that help other people, and it's just his demeanor. It's just who he is. The scary part is that when we have these dreams, usually the darker the dream, the deeper instilled the message is in you. And the thing with the past lives, and I really kind of delved into that, because in the beginning when I first saw Christ, I couldn't understand what everyone was talking about, having a past life. And all of a sudden, all these people were Egyptian queens and kings. And I thought, how could there be so many Egyptian queens and kings? How long is Egypt, you know, like I was just trying to figure all that out. But this dream about this person is truly in the opposite form in life. He's looks like he's fixing cars, but he heals, he helps, he gives more life to people over and over and over again. And it's funny because this dream separated you from him, but you didn't know why, and you didn't know him well enough, obviously, to say anything to him. But he's a good person, and it's like, once you see the meaning behind the dream, now you'll start realizing, and you know, all these little flashes will come in your head of wow, you know what? He always stood out. He always did this. He always did that. You don't have to know him very well, but you needed to know this about him, because you're always going to use him, and it's also telling you to trust him. Nothing is as it seems. And the fact that it was dark and, you know, many people were killed, or he did it himself, it was the slaughter of things that aren't good, and he's giving more life to people around him. I think the darkest dream I ever had was my son, when he was little and he couldn't talk, getting up on a pool and on a diving board and then jumping into the pool, and the pool was dry. There was no water in it. And that was very scary. And it troubled me to no end. And my mom is the one who told me about all of that. And then until, you know, obviously I didn't know I would be doing this with dreams at the time. But until I talked to her, holy cow, every time I'd look at my son, I'd cry. And I kept thinking something was going to happen to him. And I was just so sad. So sad. So this was a good dream, actually. And, wow, you have to tell me how you feel about that one, because I'm sure you didn't expect that answer. But thank you also for the background story. So I have another dream, and this one is Christopher Sedre. I think I said it right. I always hope I did. While dreaming, you don't know it's a dream. You might even interpret a dream in your dream, and then you wake up and realize that it was all a dream. Perhaps the Great Awakening would reveal all of this to be a vast dream, and yet fools imagine they are already awake. How clearly and certainly they all understand it. And then you put a comment, comic, I was doing okay and then I woke up. When we dream, when we sleep, it's the only time we're completely whole, and that is our fuel to live our life here. Our life here is fragmented, and we're left to put the pieces of the puzzle in the right places, in the places it belongs. And this exactly what you wrote, and I just said it to Eliana, and it's that when we die here is when we wake up, because then we're like, oh, I get it, just like the anonymous dream we had in the beginning. And then they come back, and sometimes they try to let us know that, and other times we don't get that chance while we're here. It all depends on what we need. But, yeah, the whole dream world isn't really the dream world, is it? So here we go. I have another dream. I have another two, and hopefully I can get to them. These are both on the page, and I'll start with the top one. It's Chris Kipwoods. Hi, hug. I had a dream that I was in a woman's home, and she looked like Sharon Stone, the actress. She was pulling funny faces like I do, and she had my sense of humor, and I fell in love with her. Then we were in her bedroom, and I picked up what looked like an engagement ring. It had a small ruby stone in the middle. Get it? Sharon Stone, ruby stone. I love it. Then the scene changed. I was in her yellow topless sports car, and a long hair about 4 inches long was hanging out of my chin. Funny. I was embarrassed, and she reached over and cut it with a small pair of scissors. Her name is Kathleen. I got the feeling that she might be my future wife. love is love. Well, I'll tell you this. Whatever her name is, Sharon Stone, Kathleen, it's letting you know that you are ready now to allow another person into your life and that you yourself feel enough love for yourself to be able to share that love with another person. So your future wife doesn't have to be Kathleen. It doesn't have to be. It just is that you are ready to accept and receive the love that this person is ready to be in your life as much as you are ready to be in their life, and not to rush it, not to look for it. It will just happen the way it did in your dream. Things will just happen. And you have to trust. You don't have to do anything. When these things happen, they happen. Just know that you are now open to it happening because this dream is telling you you now are ready because you weren't ready before to share who you are. But now you feel like there's enough of you to share and that life is free, that cars don't have tops on them and wind can blow and whatever happens, happens. Really very, very cool, very encouraging, and not like, you know, anything other than you're ready, and now you know you are ready. The last dream I have 4 minutes to go. Let's see if we make it. Princess Leah. Hi, Nadia. I dreamed that I was in my granny's flat and had a look around. I saw that some items were missing and most others were still there. I worried that they would run, that they would show, but then I realized that these old spots were not too noticeable, only to me as someone who knew that they used to be there before. Then I also thought how I wished more from her had been saved rather than only some and how it could be difficult to get all of them. I also dreamed that I had made only one video and my phone was already full again. The day of the night of the dream, I actually emptied my camera roll in real life and this blank page of files was picked up by my dream. I dreamed that, to my surprise, the video I was making switched off on its own 3/4 of the way through due to the lack of storage again. While I was still filming and I didn't get to finish it, overwhelming how fast storage space can get full. So these are like two different dreams, but what they both are telling you is that you are now paying attention to details. You know how involved you are. You know that you want to make changes by noticing the small things in your own life. Like you notice that, okay, this is full. I've lived this out to the end, and now I can start something new. And it's like your storage is full. Your brain is full. Your mind is full. Your life is full. And, you know, you're scared of everything just being full and you not having room. But in real life, there is room. And so it's just letting you know that don't get nervous about these things. Don't put energy into things that are missing. Pay attention to what is there. Don't pay attention to what is missing. Pay attention to what is in your life, not what is not in your life. There will always be something missing. You will always find what's missing. It's so easy to find what's missing all the time. That's the beautiful part of life. But it's really hard to break that mindset of constantly looking for what's missing and looking and being grateful for what's already there. And that's the message of both of your dreams, is to pay attention to what's here, not what is missing. Boy, you guys, those were great dreams. I can't believe it. And I made it through all of them, even the comment. I'm getting real fast at this now, but I love doing it. Your dreams are awesome, and I appreciate so much that you guys sent them in and took the chance and the leap of faith. And for anyone who doesn't want to be known, you can just send them in anonymously, and I'll read them, and at least you'll know. But your dreams help all of us. I really appreciate it. I'll see you guys on questions tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiacomp.com.